every Colts game. Only on 96.1 WSBT, South Bend, the sports leader. This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is drip.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Fumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Woo! Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback. Evan Sharpley.
Glad to have you with us, as always, at Five Star Dive Bar. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch. Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart, as we get ready for another home Notre Dame football weekend. How you doing today, Mr. Sharpley?
I'm fired up this
crisp
week.
Autumn November 1st.
I'm fired up.
You're fired up. We are all going to get fired up. All right, so I guess we're turning it down. We had this conversation earlier about, do we need higher level? Do we need lower level? So we went up, and apparently we went too far up today.
That's all right.
All right.
We can always be told to chill out a little bit.
That's right. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that either. So let me bring this down just a little because I think I was – let's find the happy medium
here.
Someplace. Yeah, that's right.
There we are.
So
we got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. We have a lot to talk about.
Because
I was looking at my notes.
Because everybody's been talking.
Yeah, I mean, there's
today.
Been –
We've been talking since whenever the game ended. By the way, I didn't listen, but you're – so it would have been a good poll question is – who would have had the worst job, post-game job, doing Inside Notre Dame Football, the TV show,
right.
Darren Pritchett, or Sean Stiers doing the post-game show with Reggie Brooks? Who had the worst job
you
there?
You should have made that a poll, man. And
I thought about that on Sunday. I was so happy that I didn't have to do that TV show with Darren because I didn't watch it. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know what... What do you talk about?
Well, and that's the hard part in the immediate aftermath of a game like
well,
that.
Well, you've got the gut reactions.
Exactly.
And everybody's
exactly.
embarrassed and mad and upset. And
you know, Reggie obviously played for Notre Dame, and he sits there when we do the show, and I love doing the show with Reggie, but then he'll sit there, especially after a game like that, where he's on a group text with all these other former Notre Dame football players.
Burn
and he's,
it down.
And he's, that's right. He's getting instant feedback from other Notre Dame football alums during the show, and it gets crazy. And, of course, when you have a game like that, you get more heated responses.
You're very passionate.
From fans. That's right. The one side of it is you get responses and questions from fans, but a lot of times they're not actually questions.
No.
You know, you get the fire Kelly and everything else
there.
That comes with it. Bench book. And
I will say, though, it was one of my best nights, all-time nights on Twitter.
But you know, Brady Quinn was shooting you down.
Man, he was coming after me. I had to pull out, you know, what I found, though, is, you know, when you're on Twitter and you type in the GIF, right, the GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them, if you type in Brady Quinn, you know what the top one is his Myoplex commercial when he turns and looks at the camera and says, now I'm done.
Are you serious?
So I tweeted that at him. No response after that. That shut it down. That was the mic drop moment.
Are all those tweets still there, by the way?
They're all there.
I got to go back and look for those because I didn't get to see all of them.
I think this all started with Brady making a comment on Ian Book stepping up in the pocket.
Stay in the pocket was what he said.
Which is fine. I mean, I get it. And I said, and then my response to him was like, running the football helps because he put periods in between each word. So I did that. So it ended up looking like, you know, right. So anyways, then we had a little back and forth, which was I think it ended up being all in good fun. But I ended with the Myoplex, now I'm done. And I didn't get a response from him. And then we did an Evan Sharpley search on the GIFs on Twitter. There's no pictures of me, but apparently if you type it in, Captain America comes up.
Really?
So
well, you've got that
thing
going for you.
I got that one going
Brady
for me.
Brady Quinn has Myoplex. Evan Sharpley has Captain America.
That's right.
I think I'd choose Captain America.
even though
Myoplex is still getting their money's worth.
Well, yeah,
out
they
of
probably
one.
Paid pretty well for that, right?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, and of course, Notre Dame hosts Virginia Tech tomorrow, 2:30 kickoff here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. 9 a.m., our coverage begins with a Brian Kelly Show replay. You heard some of his comments live last night here on WSBT. 10 a.m., Legacy Heating and Air game day show. And I just close. I know that a couple of Knut Rockne's grandsons are going to be there, and I believe it was Alan Rossum. I just closed my computer, so I don't know if I can get it back up in time.
I'm sure he'll text me here shortly.
Yeah, that's right.
Get all the updates.
Get it right.
That's right. We will. Don't worry, Tim.
And then at 11 a.m., Budweiser's game day sports beat with Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett, and I. 1:30, the Notre Dame Network pregame show. 2:30 is kickoff. And then after the game, 6 o'clock-ish, whatever.
And if you need more to do,
post-game
you could
show.
Listen to Pot of Gold. I was on Pot of Gold with Eric and Tyler this week, too.
I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet.
Well, it's an hour and a half long, so we had a lot to talk about.
We can't go an hour and a half today,
no.
But there is a lot to talk about. I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of the
sure
same things.
Will.
Because they had you on to talk quarterback play, and we're going to
get
into that.
Why are we talking about the quarterback?
When you lose by 31 points, isn't it about more than the quarterback?
Probably all the quarterback.
It's got to be all the quarterback. You got to make the quarterback change.
But we'll get into
right?
that.
That's sarcasm, by the way, just so we'll everybody knows. All right, I also want to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. They're officially now live in Indiana, so now you can make money line bets, bet on spreads, parlays, props, and more on every game from anywhere in the state. FanDuel features live in-play betting options for all your favorite sports. A lot of different cool stuff, like during the World Series, you could bet on what player was going to hit a home run. You can bet on who'll score the first touchdown of a game or score the first point in a basketball game. All kinds of different stuff like that in-game as the game goes on. It's not just the money line before the game. Plus, FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a risk-free bet worth up to $500 when you sign up with the promo code WSBT. So if you lose your first bet, FanDuel will give you a refund Insight credit. You've got the Bears. They're a 5-point underdog against Philly this Sunday. New England, just a 3.5-point favorite against the Ravens. Notre Dame is a 17.5-point favorite against Virginia Tech for Saturday's game. So don't forget, you can bet on those games risk-free. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to claim your risk-free bet with promo code WSBT. That's promo code WSBT for your risk-free first bet. First online wager, only refund issued as site credit. Terms apply, must be at least 21. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. So that is FanDuel. They are now live in the state of Indiana. So you want to talk a little Notre Dame football, a little quarterback, quarterback
play?
Well, I
figured we would. That's
let me start with
seems
this.
Seems to be a hot topic.
Let me start with this. Okay, after the 45-14 loss last week, Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN tweeted this. Can't decide if I was more impressed by Michigan or more disappointed in Notre Dame and their lack of competitive spirit. UM has become a different team in the last six quarters and will be dangerous for anyone to play. Notre Dame, 3 question marks. Not even sure what to say. So again, that is from Kirk Herbstreit. So Evan, which side do you fall on? More impressed with Michigan or disappointed in the performance of the Irish?
I fall on the sad side, the disappointed side. That's where I fall. You know, it's as a fan, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed in you. You know, because
right.
I'm still going to be a fan, although I have kind of questioned that fandom recently since I've been to some Notre Dame hockey games recently. I now have 2 jerseys, a home and away, so I'm thinking about just being a Notre Dame hockey fan permanently. But anyways, yeah, it's more of the. Yeah, you mean
where would Brady Quinn lie on
how
this?
How can you not be disappointed in that?
Yeah,
you know, if it's Michigan number one, and you don't play them for another 100 years, so you have bragging rights on the line. Mm-hmm. You have your typical Michigan fan, which you could say there's a typical Notre Dame fan too that probably would have rubbed it in Michigan fans if Notre Dame had won, but now it's that. So yeah, I mean it's. It's embarrassing. It's disappointing. You have an opportunity to go on the road against a ranked opponent and win a football game, which you know you haven't had maybe a signature road win in a while, and still keep your name relevant as far as being in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
If you end up winning out and going 11-1,
and really a signature win of any kind, let alone road win. I mean, when
Correct.
You start to think about it, I mean. You have to go back to 2012 for the last signature road win at Oklahoma. And, I mean, as far as signature wins, most of their signature stuff, unfortunately, has been close losses, whether it was at home by a point to Georgia a couple of years ago or earlier this year to Georgia, to you know, a Georgia team that has lost a game that it shouldn't have lost. So you could already just question how good Georgia is. But, yeah, I mean, just what we saw, I think we were all really – you know, when you start to go down the line, the fact that the defense gave up over 300 rushing yards, the fact that the offense couldn't run for anything, had 9 three and outs, only 3 fewer three and outs. Now, technically, I think it was 8, but if you go to that first possession where they had to punt, and then you had the roughing, the kicker called on Michigan, and then they punted again. They went essentially 3 and out after the reset there. They still had to punt, couldn't do anything. And then, of course, you had the botched punt of their own where they ended up giving it right back to Michigan. And they lost the turnover margin as well. Both the only games that they've lost the turnover margin this year, they were number one in the country in turnover margin going in. Their two losses, they lost the turnover margin in the games. But, I mean, as for Michigan, they'll cruise through their next three games. Maybe Indiana gives them a little bit of a battle because
– I'll tell you what, Indiana, they – $100,000 per win for the head man.
Hey.
Each win moving forward.
As Jay Billis would say, there's just not enough money to go around.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But, I mean, I think they're going to lose by at least 2 touchdowns to Ohio State. I don't think they're going to be in the same league again. At least 2 touchdowns.
How many did they score last year against Michigan? 70?
In that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 65, 70, something
like
that?
Yeah, and I think they kind of stopped scoring.
Maybe. Jim Harbaugh wouldn't stop scoring if he had the chance. You know? So
that was one of my good tweets, as I said, he's trying for every point scored, another year of service at Michigan. Getting that contract extension. However, then you have to say minus the number of points that they lose to by Ohio State.
Right. He's making the fan base as happy as he can because, I mean, that's one of the few rivalry game type wins that he has at Michigan.
So two things. Number one, you owe Don Brown an apology. And
you
do, right?
For saying he was nobody, Ryan.
And two,
was that all Don Brown, though?
I don't know. Probably not, but it's, whatever happened made him look pretty good.
I was thinking about that this week, and I was like, wow, is Don Brown buddy Ryan?
And number two, would we be sitting here talking about this, all of this, now almost a week removed, had it been a 3-point loss or a 10-point loss?
How different would you feel if it was at least a close game?
Because that was the conversation with Georgia was, well, we still lost, but you know what? We played really well, and it was a quality loss.
And I think that's part of where the fan base is right now. They're tired of rationalizing close losses like that and not being able to get the big wins in some of these primetime-type situations against some better opponents. And I just – maybe Michigan has turned a corner. I don't know. But, again, we'll find that out over the next month and what they do
Michigan
with their time.
Michigan State and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, it's Ohio State.
Yeah, exactly. That's ultimately going to be their measuring stick still. So Brian Kelly said earlier this week that if Notre Dame – wins the month of November, which, of course, is 5 games in the month of November, the noise will change, quote, all will be happy. Do you buy or sell that?
Sell.
Big sell.
Hard. Sell it hard. No. There's no chance. This fan base, I think, sometimes likes to be unhappy.
You think?
I think so. So there's no way that, and it, guess what? 10 wins is still a great season. 10 wins a year is the sign of a solid program. But even if that happens, no one's going to care because you lost to Georgia and you got blown out by Michigan.
Well, I mean, wouldn't Bob Davey, Tyrone Willingham, Charlie Weiss, I mean, a lot of the criticism is, well, you're winning all these games, but you're winning it against soft opponents. I mean,
well, you should win against the teams you should win against.
Yeah, I mean, if those guys were winning double digits, one of them would still be here right now.
They'd probably still be there.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's – you can – they unfortunately weren't winning games against some of the same kind of opponents that Notre Dame is winning against now. And I mean, if they end up, this is still if, because there are five games to go in the regular season in a bowl game, but if they get to 10 wins this year, it would be the third consecutive year and the fourth time in the last 5 years, and you got to go back basically 30 years to Lou Holtz since that has happened.
It's a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's funny, right? You know, whatever the perception has been since this loss, it's like bench Book, fire Kelly, cancel the football program.
That's right.
We're done.
That's right. Fire everybody on the offensive staff.
Get rid of everyone.
Yeah, if you're not going to fire Kelly, fire the offensive staff, fire the offensive coordinator, fire the quarterback coach, just the whole thing. Well, that does take us to the quarterback.
Okay.
Ian Book, because
we got to do it.
That is where, if I looked at my email queue and my tweets, you were talking about doing the post game show Saturday night.
That was probably it. But you know,
that's where the list was.
You know, they get paid the most on the team, so we should talk about them the most. So
now they're not getting endorsements yet.
No, but they soon they can.
Yeah, that's right. So Book had the worst game of his career, 8 of 25, 73 yards, completed just 32% of his passes. Quarterback rating of 69.7, all career lows. His previous career lows in completion percentage, yards, and quarterback rating were actually set just a game prior to that against USC. When he was 17 of 32, completed just 53% of his passes and a QBR of 106.7. So he's passed for almost 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, just two interceptions, 59% this year. But again, the split between what he does against Power 5 and what he did against the two non-Power 5 teams, New Mexico and Bowling Green, those two games have really inflated his stats. He had 10 touchdowns, no interceptions in those two games versus and completing 70% of his passes versus 55%, just five touchdowns and two interceptions in the five games against the Power 5 opponents. So let's start with Brian Kelly's evaluation of Ian Book from earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all the things that you saw. I mean, we have to, you know, continue to work on going through your progressions, you know, hanging in there. You know, we had some key drops. We need all 11 guys to play better, quite frankly. We didn't lose that game because of Ian Book. He's got to play better, no doubt. But the things that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, he's got to continue to work on.
All right, Evan Sharpley. So let's start, okay. Ian Book, not just against Michigan, but overall. What do you see going wrong with him?
Well, let's be fair. Let's first talk about Michigan. I mean, it was raining and windy. You know, you look at Shea Patterson for most of the game. He was 3-9. I think finished about 50%, had a couple of completions late. But Michigan ran for 300 yards.
Exactly.
But we can talk broad picture. Broad picture, he does not look comfortable in the pocket, 100%. He does not look like he's in rhythm. Even when he's completing passes, he does not look like he's in rhythm. Does not trust his offensive line. I 100% can say that. He can say it to the media.
Now, you were kind of on the fence a little bit about that earlier,
but
right?
You can tell that he was hit early, and I don't think mentally his clock is where it should be on, hey, I'm okay for this many seconds in my head.
Because he gets out quick.
I gotta move somewhere. I gotta move back. I gotta move out. I gotta move right, left, and then leave. It's his confidence. You can tell is not where it was a year ago.
And Kirk Herbstreit said during the game Saturday night that he looks at his primary receiver, and then his head is down, and he's not keeping his eyes.
So I mean, let's call a spade here. And Kelly said it. He did not play well. But, you know, why aren't we talking – why isn't the lead story the offensive line struggled, they weren't able to run the football, why don't we bench the whole offensive line, why don't we bench all of the running backs? They were not good either. And that puts you, especially in a weather-related game like that, that puts you in such a hole because now you have a team that is completely one-dimensional in weather-related games, which is hard. Everybody in the stadium and everybody watching, and especially once you got down by two or three touchdowns, guess what? They knew you had to throw. So if I know and everybody in the stands know, you better believe that Don Brown and that defense know, they knew. So it's tough. So I'm saying we have to give, I think we have to give Ian Book a little bit of a break. At the same time, the standard is set so high that when the ball is given to you and really the game, and in this case, was on his shoulders, what do you still expect? You still expect him to go out there and complete 70% of his passes and lead Notre Dame to victory.
Those are all fair points that you made about the offensive line. And I mean, really, that flips it then, because Brian Kelly has said, we didn't play well, we didn't coach well. He didn't put the blame on it. And I agree with both points, because a lot of what you were just saying, I think, goes even more to game plan than it does about particular play. Because on the other side, okay, so Michigan and Don Brown, they basically dropped 8 in the box. They stacked it up, and they said,
listen,
Ian Book has to beat us.
I disagree with you there. They did that to start, and then they started playing zone.
Okay.
Once they got up.
They mix, and that's another thing.
They did a great job of mixing it up.
They mixed it up. They disguised coverages.
100%.
Notre Dame, I think, could have and should have used more motion to figure some of that out. Pre-snap motion, where that would
have
helped.
Are they in man or are they in zone?
Exactly.
Yes.
They didn't do enough of that.
More shifting, more motions, yes.
Right. But also, like when I look at the running game, there were, in the first half that I counted, there were 3 plays that went up the gut, between the tackles in some form. They averaged about 4 yards a carry, including the very first run by Tony Jones that went for 5 yards. But they had more than twice as many runs to the outside that were averaging about a yard a carry.
Not their strength either.
No.
Even
so the question
games.
Is, why didn't they keep trying to run
and,
up
and
between
who,
the tackles
and guess
more?
Who did that and had success?
Tony Jones.
Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, some of that also, though, was where they, I mean, they were doing something like, there were a couple times where they took a page out of what Chip Long has done. You pull a guard one direction, you run the other direction. You do some of that different kind of stuff. But there were a lot of cutback lanes for them to run through. And it just seemed like Notre Dame, why didn't Clark Lee and Notre Dame kind of pack it in a little bit more and make Shea Patterson have to beat him? They ran the ball 18 straight times at one point in the first half. And were scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, again, it's a fair point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because we've said, I mean, the bulk of the venom has been directed at Ian Book and what he did or didn't do. But there are a lot of fingers, I guess, to be pointed around at what went wrong last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a smart move, is to pack it in a weather-related game. Number one priority, even in a non-weather-related game, normally is, let's stop the run. That's normally where it starts.
Right.
And Notre Dame wasn't able to do that.
We're not able to do that at all. Well, let's go back to Ian Book.
Okay.
Because, again, we're not talking about it to beat up on Ian Book. We're talking about it because that's what people are talking about.
Well,
the bulk of the conversation has been about him this week.
The thing is now, too, is unlike another school at this point, I think we talk about it more now because you can't make the playoffs. Who really cares what bowl you go to?
Right.
It does not matter. You can't win a conference championship. So we're already now, we might as well say it, we're looking for 2020. And that's why I think there are so many people saying, well, you know, if last year was the barometer, which, guess what, Sean? Last year was pretty dang good for Ian Book.
It was.
If he completes 70% of his passes, and it's a big reason of why they made the run that they made, that was good. So, you know, if you're saying, have we seen his ceiling? Yeah, but it was a good ceiling, you know?
Well, is it fair to say, because when you talk, he completed 70% of his passes last year, as you mentioned, 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in 9 starts. So is it fair to say, essentially, that defensive coordinators have figured out how to defend Ian Book, and especially, you know, if you're going to play a Power 5 team, you expect them to be, and the higher up you go, whether it's Michigan, USC, even USC, you know, you can kind of question theirs, but Georgia, I mean, have they figured out what his strengths are and now they're taking that away from him?
No. The defensive coordinators are not the problem here.
Still think it's more him than it is what he's seeing?
I think, yes.
Because as we saw, there were guys he could have thrown to who were open that he did not throw to.
You know, we're not talking about a first-year starter.
Right.
We're talking a guy with, you know, 12-plus starts under his belt. So if he hasn't seen it by now, I'm assuming he's probably seen a variation of something. I know for a fact that between Kelly and Long and Reese, they will throw hypotheticals out there on what coverages you could see. Now, one thing you do get at Notre Dame, I feel, more than you do at most, because Notre Dame is an independent and because of Notre Dame's tradition, and I'm not trying to say this because I'm biased towards it. I'm just saying is we saw more alternate game plans from defenses based on us being Notre Dame. So you could get.
So they were throwing different things at you that
might
you didn't see on film going
in. It might not be a big thing. And honestly, some defensive coordinators in some programs are bullheaded and stubborn and say, listen, Michigan State was one. We are who we are. This is what we're going to run.
Yeah.
So when you get the scouting report on us, expect to see that Saturday. But there'd be other teams that'd be, you know, we're a 60% or 70% cover four team, and we might get all man. So it's we went in game planning for to see what – you know what the scouting report said, but you always kind of had in the back of your mind of, well, once we get through the first quarter, those first couple drives, what are we actually seeing out there, and can we adjust? So, I don't think that that now it's, and I used this same example maybe a couple weeks ago. This isn't like a pro baseball player, and you have a scouting report on what pitches he can't hit.
Right.
It isn't like, you know, there's a specific coverage that Ian Book can't read. That's not it. Now, you can hide coverage as well.
But they do know that he doesn't want to throw long.
To his skill set, possibly. But I don't care if he doesn't want to throw long. Where was his success last year? Was not throwing long. You can't specifically game plan a coverage. We are just going to take away the short to intermediate only. That's not how defenses are set up.
Mm-hmm.
You would not build that in because you might have a guy run free deep. I think it's been, and this maybe is a stretch, and I talked about this on Pot of Gold too. I cited the last two quarterbacks at Notre Dame, well, the current one right now, Ian Book and Brandon Winbush. You know, their success in year one was pretty good. You look at what Brandon Winbush did. Name all of the greatest quarterbacks at Notre Dame, and Brandon Winbush, in a single season, ran for more touchdowns than any other quarterback.
True story.
He is the best running quarterback in a single season as far as productions and points of any other quarterback at Notre Dame.
Well, and right now,
even better than me.
If you look at Brandon Winbush's season 2 years ago compared to Ian Book right now, the numbers that Winbush has had for the entire season are better than what Book is producing right now.
So three games into the season, you have Ian Book take over. The whole offseason for Brandon Winbush was focused on what?
Mechanics.
You have to be a better thrower.
Yeah.
Okay? The staff went so far as to saying, in the blue zone, extended red zone, we are going to put Ian Book in the game. Where did Brandon Winbush have all of his success running?
In that
red zone extended. That was it. That's where he had all
the
success.
They took that part of his game away.
You take that part of his game away, and you tell him that he has to stay in the pocket and throw. You see, as Tyler James would say, a regression in year two. Because he wrote an article about it, and he asked me. And I had a tough time. I still have a tough time putting a finger on the exact reason why. So I have this dialogue and this conversation as maybe it being a reason. Ian Book, 70% in year one as a starter. Offseason. What do you have to do? You have to stay in the pocket, and you have to be able to throw the ball down the field long. Okay? What have we seen in year two? Where his success was all short to intermediate, timely runs, and him ejecting out of the pocket when he wanted to. Now it's don't eject out of the pocket, and you got to throw it long. Again.
So you're saying that's too much of that is in his head, you think, right now?
I think so. I think it was for Brandon a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely was for Brandon in those first couple games. And, I mean, you think back, like, to even Phil Jurkovec in the blue-gold game, when we did get to see him, quote-unquote, live in the blue-gold game. I mean, he was frustrated about it. He was supposed to stay in the pocket, not take off and run, and do those kind of things. So how much of his actual game?
If I may, let's talk about quarterback development.
You know what? How about this?
We need to take a quick break.
Let's take a break.
Let's do it.
Because obviously we're going to keep going with this for a while.
I keep coughing too. Something's going on in the throat.
Right. You can get your cough out during the break and do that. And we do a whole list, by the way, of guests from Tim Grau for tomorrow's Legacy Heating and Air Game Day show. Alan Rossum, former Notre Dame and NFL return specialist, your quarterback friend and president of Global Football, Pat Steenberg, and Knut Rockne, and is it Nils Rockne?
I don't know.
I believe the grandsons of the Notre Dame coaching legend. They will be there tomorrow for the Legacy Heating and Air Game Day show, and that starts at 10 o'clock at Ivy Court in Ann Suites as part of our game day coverage before Notre Dame Virginia Tech kickoff at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon here on 96.1 WSBT. Live at Five Star Dive Bar downtown Elkhart, Sean and Sharpley, Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch back live. Five Star Dive Bar, 526 South Main Street in downtown Elkhart. Glad to have you with us. So we get ready for Notre Dame, Virginia Tech tomorrow. Of course
nobody cares.
Yeah, I was going to say, the bulk of the conversation, not even maybe the bulk, but pretty much all the conversation has been about the quarterbacks. It's been about what happened last week against Michigan. We've just scratched the surface, and I cut you off. We had to take a break.
It's okay.
As you were getting into some more quarterback analysis of one Ian Book.
Well, I was going to talk about just quarterback development in general. You know, it's my feel now, having gone through it myself and now seen and watched quarterbacks following me, you kind of are who you are when you get to campus as a freshman. You've been playing the sport probably since third grade, and if you played flag before that. So the habits and mechanics you have, especially at the quarterback position, I think are already inherent, right? So it's likely unfair to say, you know, are we going to change your mechanics and even some of your footwork? You know, those patterns have been established over thousands and thousands of reps.
You can make tweaks. But I think the biggest development you're probably going to make is stuff that happens in the film room and
it's all
reading
mental.
Defense,
it's
right?
All, yeah. It's all mental.
More between the ears than anything.
So, I mean, and you can point to examples in the NFL of guys who have non-perfect or, you know, perhaps not great mechanics. Phillip Rivers being one. You know, Peyton Manning is another one, too. Like, when I train quarterbacks, I'm like,
Throw like him.
He's not the first guy that I'm going to bring up and be like, listen, he has perfect mechanics. But guess what? That dude, between the ears, knew where it was going.
He knew was, everything that was going to happen.
He was also really accurate. I mean, you know, his release point and getting it to where it needed to be was very good. But I think the last 3 years, I think he threw one spiral in 3 years, mm-hmm. you know. So that side of it, I think, you got what you got, the development side. And then it becomes, do you know where it goes? Can you get your team into the best play? And can you outsmart those guys on the other side of the ball? So the development side, you know, if you talk about regression, which I know is a big topic right now at Notre Dame because we're seeing so many guys in year two as the starter not take steps forward. For me, I don't necessarily point to their inability physically. It is more on the mental side. And I have to say, it's hard sometimes to coach that because for some guys, it clicks. And I've been around guys, football IQ really good, great understanding of the playbook. And that's when football is so much fun at the quarterback position, when you can walk up to the line of scrimmage and be like, you know, it's like, you know, I'm everything is moving and I am dictating it kind of like, you know, it's a symphony and I am the conductor out there and I'm going to move you safety over here as I alert to this play that's going to go this way. You know, that's the fun part about, and here's what I don't know. And I brought up with Eric and Tyler. I don't know if Ian has that freedom or that knowledge base. I don't know that. And I can't speak to that because I'm not behind the shroud.
If maybe it's too boxed in.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
I don't know.
To control.
So
by.
I'm not going to say either way. I don't know what that relationship is like. I don't know. That's
when
all I can say.
When you talk about all that stuff, though, isn't that what makes it more confounding? Just the fact that he did seem to have all those intangibles last year without even really playing just a handful of snaps, really. I mean, before that, he was thrown into the fire against North Carolina, was not a good team when Brandon Wimbush was the starter in 2017, came out, threw a couple interceptions, but he played well enough to get him to the victory. Then he came off the bench against LSU in the bowl game, helped get him to victory. You can argue that they wouldn't have won that game if had he not played. But, I mean, in all those cases, and then everything we saw last year, with a couple exceptions, like Pittsburgh, Clemson obviously being the biggest exceptions, even maybe USC to some extent, but he seemed to have all those things, even if there were maybe some more physical limitations that we thought
he had. That the million-dollar question right now is, how do you have so much success in year one and then not as
go
much
backwards
in year two?
Yeah. When all of that game experience that you had would
and it isn't
should
like,
take you to
I mean,
another
you
place.
Noted, you noted last year, you know, one here and one there. We're not saying that. You know, I think it's the consistency right now is inconsistent.
Oh, boy. All right. So, of course, a lot of fans think it's time for a change at quarterback from Book to Djurkovic. And Brian Kelly asked about that prospect earlier this week. Here he is.
It's hard to compare and contrast those two. They're really quite different. You know, Phil obviously sees the field very well. He's tall, he's rangy, 6'5", he's got a strong arm. We like him, you know, as a quarterback. But, you know, I don't know that there's any appetite. There isn't for mine. There is no quarterback controversy. There isn't any kind of conversation about making a change. Ian Book is our starter, will be our starter, and Phil will continue to be ready if he's called upon.
All right, Evan Sharpley.
Yep.
Former Notre Dame quarterback.
Let's talk about it.
5 games left in the season. Do you think Ian Book should still be the starter going forward?
He is the starter, but we're going to see Phil.
You think we will?
I think we will.
Do you think that looks like?
I don't know. I honestly, you know, the more I thought about it, I think the less sure I was on what it could look like. I still wouldn't be floored to see Phil start a game. What did we talk about earlier is we might as well call this the preseason for 2020. I mean, we really should because...
But you can't take that approach, though, can you?
Why?
With the seniors on the team?
You're not in a conference. Who cares? You don't get extra points for winning games right now.
So the goal over these next 5 games is not to win games, develop guys
for
next year?
I'm not saying that. Okay, you still win games.
I'm just double-checking.
Yeah, 100%. You still win games.
All right.
Okay. But if we're specifically talking at the quarterback position, we're saying we need to have a good look at this guy because what did Brian Kelly say is, well, we don't really know because we haven't seen him in a game. But the only way we can actually see him is
right.
a game and to play him
and
in a game.
And that's the catch-22.
Okay? And I know it sounds silly, and I think he caught some flack for that, but I get it because, you know, if you're still 11-1 and you want to say, well, we might have to play Phil at some point, well, you're probably not going to play him if there's still an outside shot with the current starting quarterback at making the playoffs. So I'm not saying that you're cashing in the season. I thought that playing Phil when they did against Michigan, even though the game probably was out of hand by then,
yeah.
It did give the feel of, well, I might as well turn the channel now because this is where we are.
Yeah.
Whether or not that actually was the case. And I really don't think that should be how it's perceived if he does play. Do I think that Ian Book is the incumbent and will be in the incumbent going into spring football and even in the next fall? 100%. I'll book it now. I think he's a starting quarterback next year. I don't think there's enough that Phil can do to be the number one guy. I don't think Phil's leaving.
Okay.
I've also heard really good things about Brandon Clark, the freshman quarterback.
Right.
So but at the same time, if you're a coaching staff on the offensive side and you want to be able to make a full, thorough decision in 2020, you got to see the cat play more.
All right. So for Jesse, our producer at the studio, we're going to skip the challenging soundbite that we had coming up next because where we are in the conversation now takes us to a potential Phil Djurkovic package because Kelly did say this week that one of the things working against Djurkovic is that he doesn't have the actual playing experience. So Brian Kelly was asked about the prospect of playing Djurkovic in some smaller doses.
If I felt like playing Phil for 4 plays would make us a better football team, I would do it in a second. I'm only interested in how I can help our football team win. This is not about an ego or we got to play one guy or two guys. I want to just win football games by playing the best players that will help us win. And if I thought for a second that Phil Jurkovec would be on the field to help us winning in some fashion, he would be on the field. And that's as honest as I can be with you.
That's and I'm with him. Ian's better.
Right.
There's a reason why, if you look at Brian Kelly's track record, not just at Notre Dame, you go to Cincinnati, you go to Central Michigan, you go to Grand Valley. If there was a guy that was going to do it a little bit better, even if that previous guy had success,
he would make the
guess
move.
Who's out there? The other guy's going out there. There have been times when he's at Notre Dame when I'm scratching my head like, he's sending somebody else out right now?
Uh-huh.
And we've all been there watching games and saying, are you sure about this? And it's paid off.
And I mean,
a few
obviously,
times too,
he
right?
did it with what you said. He did it with Ian Book last year, early in the season. There was the Ian Book package.
I was 100% against it.
And I was as well, just because of the fact of what you said earlier. Brandon Wimbush's strength was down there in the blue zone, red zone, whatever you want to call it. But that's where Ian Book was coming into the game. So it seemed odd at the time.
So what that tells me is the staff does not feel that PJ's ready. And that's okay.
So you're saying that but PJ, now, Phil Jurkovec, needs to get on the field more. So what is that?
But now may be the time to do it because no conference championship, right? No playoffs. And the bowl game, it's just semantics at this point.
So shouldn't
Notre Dame's fan base is going to travel well regardless of where they go.
Right. Should there be more meaningful reps for Jurkovec, though, other than at the end of blowout results like we've seen from him so far? That's what he's got on the field so far.
I could buy that argument. I can buy it. It would make sense to me.
So, like, Darren Pritchett asked me last night on Weekday Sports Beat, if Notre Dame is winning 21-0 in the first half, is that a spot where you'd feel comfortable putting or maybe –
Listen,
Phil, where you would advocate for Phil seeing the field.
There's nothing that would surprise me. I could see him run out in Series 2. It could be 0-0.
But if it is Series 2 and Series 1 is a 3-and-out, then all of a sudden we've got a quarterback controversy, right?
Well, no. There's still
we
no,
don't?
There is still no controversy for me.
If they go 3-and-out with Ian Book and Phil Jurkovec comes in for Series 2, that's not a quarterback controversy?
There's nothing controversial. I mean, I'm still looking at Ian Book as the starting quarterback.
Okay.
And listen,
and I am too.
And I've been
I'm just throwing hypotheticals out there.
I've been in both roles too, right? I've been
exactly.
I've been the backup. I've been the starter.
Which is why you're the perfect guy to ask about all this stuff.
You know, it's Phil's going to be out there playing, and I think that's probably the right move. As much as
so, you think we're going to see a lot more of Phil Jurkovec over these last five games?
Well, I think it makes sense in my mind.
Okay.
It makes sense in my mind.
So if you were calling the shots, you would, is what you're saying. You're not saying this is what Brian Kelly is going to do.
If I'm calling the shots, well, given I'm the head coach at Notre Dame, is what you're saying?
You're really tap dancing
well,
now.
Hold
this
on,
is
okay.
Weird.
Hold on. So the hypothetical here is I am coaching at Notre Dame, not another school.
Right.
Okay, then yeah, I play him.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Unless, ready?
Sure.
Unless I don't think he's ever going to be a starting quarterback.
Which may be, too, because, again.
You know I said that last year.
Yeah.
I went out on a little bit of a limb, and I thought based on, because in my mind, and we talked about this preseason, I thought there was no way that Ian Book, even if he lit it up this year and won the Davey O'Brien Award or, you know.
He's a semifinalist, by the way, or a finalist for the Johnny Unitas Award.
Okay,
that just came out.
Really?
I know.
I thought there was 0% chance he would leave. So I'm saying that he would be a 3-year starter. That was what uh-huh. my head would, you know.
There's no
where
way
it was.
The only way he's leaving at this point is
not.
If it's grad transfer.
Correct. That would be the only way.
Yeah.
He's not. And with some things that were said positively about Clark, the freshman Clark,
mm-hmm.
I thought it'd be really tough for Phil to be a starting quarterback.
And again, the only time
he may be.
The only time we've got to put our eyes on Phil Jurkovec, spring practice, which of course culminated in the Blue Gold game, and also during training camp, which we got to see more of this year. Now he got better over the course of training
mm-hmm.
camp.
He's a great athlete.
But there's nothing to say that There was nothing we saw there that would lead us to believe that he was ready to challenge Ian Book for the starting job. And once the season starts, the reps get...
It's different.
Pretty, yeah, the reps are a lot different. It's hard to make that impression.
As the backup, you're getting a lot of mental reps.
But there are people who are saying, well, he needs to have 50-50 reps with Ian Book.
Man, I would love that.
I mean, but that never happens, does it?
There were some games I played. I play three quarters. You know how many reps I get in practice?
One?
I think for the full week, I get six team reps.
Really?
Six. Go out there and play three quarters. Come on.
All right. We got to take another break. Man, we were way behind once again. I mean, I knew that. I should have known that that would happen. But I'm going to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook before we take this next break, because we have so much different things to talk about, of course, today. But, you know, the Colts and Steelers game going on this weekend. They play this Sunday, and FanDuel Sportsbook has given you the chance to get an even bigger win. When you bet on the game, you can sign up with the promo code WSBT, place a $5 money line bet for the Colts Steelers game. FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a $5 site credit bonus for every point your pick scores. Just sign up using the promo code WSBT to qualify. With FanDuel Sportsbook, there's plenty more to bet on as well. Not only do they offer spreads, over-unders, parlays, props, round robins, and more, but FanDuel Sportsbook also has special promotions running every single day, like close loss insurance, touchdown bonuses, and boosted odds. And best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook has lightning-fast withdrawals, so that means you can have your winnings in your pocket in as little as 24 hours. So sign up with the promo code WSBT. That's WSBT. Place a $5 money line bet for the Colts Steelers game this Sunday. You'll get a $5 bonus for every point your pick scores. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to bet today. Must be 21 plus and physically present in the state of Indiana. First wager only. Bonus issued is site credit. Site credit expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. Minimum $5 money line wager. Maximum $200 bonus. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. We'll take a timeout. We've got some of our own props for tomorrow's Notre Dame Virginia Tech game. We will do that when we continue with Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch from Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Winding things down, Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch from Five Star Dive Bar on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Notre Dame hosting Virginia Tech tomorrow. I should also mention...
Mention it.
Today is November 1st.
It is.
So if you are an online listener of Budweiser's weekday Sports Beat, the only way you can listen to Sports Beat in a digital online manner going forward as of today is if you download the new Sports Beat app.
Okay.
You can no longer listen at WSBTradio.com. You have to get the Sports Beat app, so just download it. All the places that you usually download your
download
apps.
It, and you know, with daylight savings time on Sunday, you get an extra hour to listen to all the shows.
There you go.
It's my favorite holiday.
Yep. Reggie and I are
Falling
there.
Back.
We're in the post-game show streaming as well in the Sports Beat app.
Right.
And, of course, all the game day content. You can get all that. And I should mention, that's
of course us.
We're in there as well. But tonight's Mishawaka football game, sectional game, is going to be online only because we have
Elkhart Memorial.
Elkhart Memorial Sectional, but we have Notre Dame basketball exhibition game tonight at the same time.
Whew.
So you can go to WSBTradio.com or go to YouTube and look for Mishawaka Network. You can find the video stream. They'll be using our audio for that as well. Okay, so a handful of questions here.
Let's go.
Evan, before we wind, we wind things down. So another part of the conversation this week, of course, goes to Brian Kelly, Urban Meyer. There's a national talking head. I'm not going to say his name. He says Notre Dame needs to hire Urban Meyer. There are a lot of fans, of course, saying the same thing. So let's say Brian Kelly decided to retire at the end of this season. Would Urban Meyer be at the top of the list you? Or should he be at the top
of
the list?
I'm sure he'd be on a list.
He'd be on a list.
That's a very – I mean, it's a hypothetical question. First off, Kelly wouldn't leave. He's not getting fired. He's not retiring. And also, why in the world would Urban Meyer want to come to Notre Dame? Listen, I know a long time ago he said there's three places he'd want to coach. He'd want to coach at Michigan, he'd want to coach at Ohio State, or he'd want to coach at Notre Dame. Well, guess what? He probably said that when he was coaching at Bowling Green. So he's not coming here. He's not going to be able to institute a lack of institutional control at Notre Dame, so it ain't happening.
A lack of institutional control.
You can – yes. You can watch him coach for USC next year on the other sideline when they play Notre Dame.
Yeah, I still think he's damaged goods at this point. Regardless of how good a coach he is, what happened with Zach Smith and the covering up of the domestic abuse, Notre Dame is never going to touch him.
People don't talk about it. It's the NCAA starts
it's not
creeping
just who,
in.
It's not just
then,
who he is as a coach.
And then let's look. Then there's health issues. But I'll take an analyst job for a year.
Right. They suspended him for 3 games at the start of last season for that stuff. It's not going to happen at Notre Dame. But all anybody looks at is his coaching ability. There's no doubt he's a good coach.
He's a great coach.
Yeah. Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you Notre Dame's going to finish at 10-2 this year?
7.
7. That's where I am as well.
Yeah, I'm at a 7. This game scares me. I got to be honest with you. You got the tail between your legs. I don't know.
It scared me until I saw a couple things that we're going to talk about here in a second. Okay, so let's get to some of the props for tomorrow's game.
Are these on FanDuel here?
You should
put them on there.
It should. These are not on FanDuel. These are, of course,
the fast
just
four.
For fun, just for entertainment purposes. Over, under, one snap for Phil Jurkovec tomorrow.
Over.
You're going over one snap?
I'm
going
to go over.
I think I am.
Over.
Over, under, 1.5 touchdown passes for Ian Book.
Over.
Over?
Yep.
I think I am too, even though he's only, other than the two non-Power 5 teams, he's only done it once this year.
He's going to throw 4 tomorrow.
4 touchdown passes. Book it!
That was good.
Will Notre Dame score more than 30 points tomorrow?
They will.
I think so too.
Yep.
All right, last one. Which is more likely to happen tomorrow? Ian Book passes for 300-plus yards, or Virginia Tech runs for 190-plus yards?
They run for 190.
You're going to go running for 190?
I'm going to say 4 touchdowns, 275 yards.
275.
Yeah.
The most he has passed for this year is 275 against Georgia. The only 300-yard game he had was against New Mexico so far. And
Different defense, right?
Yep. And that also included the 2 shovel passes that really
had shoveling those things.
But here's Virginia Tech's defense. 469 passing yards they gave up to Miami a few weeks ago. 348 they gave up to North Carolina.
So you're saying they should chuck it.
So I'm going to go with
Ian
Book.
Chucker.
I'm going to go with Book passing for 300 plus.
Ooh. All right.
All right. That's it.
Yeah, we got some cheers for that.
Let's take it
to the bank.
All right. We will talk to you next week. Hopefully
Sounds
it's
good.
A better story next week.
Well, we had a lot to talk about today, so.
That's right. For Evan Sharpley, for Jesse Beck in our studio, Sean Stiers, WSBT South Bend.